A great job. Let's continue to do a great job. Keep bringing those coats in, your gently used or new coats. We do have our Christmas candlelight service Christmas Eve. it is a Thursday, but next Sunday we do have caroling. So we're going to meet here, 5. We're going to go sing some songs. We're going to go bless some people. If you want to be a part of that, you do not have to sing well. I guarantee you I will be worse than all of you, so you can feel like you are a rock star when you're singing. Or you could be like, Pastor, please, can you stop singing? I'm trying to sing. But we'd love to have it. It's going to be a fun time of fellowship. We're going to have some good cider there. It's going to be a cider thing. We're going to travel on trailer with some hay bales on it. We're going to have some fun. We're going to do it up, and it's going to be just a blast. Y'all come and be a part of that fellowship next Sunday evening. Next Sunday evening. That's hard to believe that I'm saying next Sunday evening already. Whew, I'm not ready for Christmas. I'm not ready for Christmas. Just a quick thing on giving. I know we had a whole sermon series on that, but I do want to remind you that we do have several ways that you can partner with us, and we really appreciate your partnership. It allows us to do some pretty phenomenal things like replacing the roof on the church, which it wasn't just shingles. There was some pretty good construction that was going on with sheeting and some of the rafters and stuff like that. So your guys' contributions and your partnership with us financially allows us to do those things, to give us a place out of the cold where we can come and we can worship the Lord. And we really appreciate that. We need that partnership. And now we're really working with our baptistry here. We've got something to kind of put together to get us by this morning, but it looks like we're going to have to do some work there as well. We've been piecing this together for some years now, and it's about time to replace our baptistry. So, you know, that's another reason these things enable us to do ministry as well. We know that baptism is a pretty important event in our lives, and we want to be able to do that in a way that really resonates with people so they're not focused on going, man, you know, that's a testimony, though. I gave a baptistry and some plastic in a tub, so, you know, it's going to be a great thing. We actually have baptism this morning. It's going to be a great thing. So your partnership allows that to happen, and we do appreciate it. And I wanted to make it known to you that it doesn't just go to salaries or just doesn't go to frivolous things. This really goes to the Lord and doing the ministry here in Kaw Valley. So feel free to partner with us on that. We have several ways. You got the boxes in the back. You can drop a donation in there. You can join us online. Go to our website, RCC In His Grip. You can donate online there, or you can stop by and see Joe during the week. She always loves to have visitors in. You can drop it there, or you can just mail it to us. So as we continue on our Christmas kind of story, and I told you last week, you're not going to hear anything new. If you're a Christian, you've heard the Christmas story, you're not here, I'm not going to give you anything new. It's not like I was over in Israel and discovered some new scrolls we didn't know about, or I didn't get to talk to old Josephus any more than what anybody else did. You know, so there's nothing new here. However, what may be new to you is some of the details or some of the perspectives that you may have not considered before. Like this question: have you ever doubted anything? If you've doubted, raise your hand. All right. Yeah, there you go. If you haven't doubted, either you're really young, or you may not be telling the whole truth of your life. I'm just saying, okay? We've all doubted something in life, right? Maybe you've doubted your abilities. I've definitely doubted my ability to play basketball, all right? That God did not make me a basketball player. My son's shaking his head. He said, yes, yes. I no longer can beat my son at basketball anymore, all right? He's getting too good for me. I've taught him everything I can. I had to hand him off to somebody better. Maybe you've doubted your feelings. Maybe you've doubted your thoughts. Perhaps, hope you wore your boots today. Perhaps you've doubted God. You know, I've doubted God in my life. I've been there. I've asked the questions. I said, God, how can this truly be? I said, God, is this a real thing? God, is salvation even real? Am I just believing in a fantasy or a fairy tale? The question is, in your own hearts, can you be honest? Have you doubted God? If the answer is amen or yes, then you're not in bad company. For Abraham doubted God, and David doubted God. You know, it started all the way back in the Garden of Eden, and Eve doubted God. Of course, she had some help with her doubt. See, that's what Satan likes to do. He likes to get in there and work with some doubts. It's okay to have the doubts. The question is, where do your doubts lead? See, for Thomas, fast forward to the New Testament. Here it is, post-resurrection, and we go to John 20 in verse 27, and the Lord says this, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, meaning Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Let's pray for some wisdom. Thank you, Lord, as we enter into this story and into this the storyline of doubt. We ask, Lord, that you would impart wisdom to our hearts, that our change in perspective would happen, that we would stop doubting, and that we would believe. Let your word be true to us. Let it be full of the Spirit. Let the Spirit be present in the here this morning in each believer's heart. Let it be upon those who may not be in you, Christ Jesus, to convict them, and let us be forever changed, that we would look a little more like you and a little less like me. In Jesus' name, amen. See, doubt's tricky business, okay? If you're Eve, it can lead to something bad. If you're Thomas, maybe to something better. The question is, what do we do with our doubt? See, doubt really leads to fear, and fear really of two things. Fear, number one, that you may be missing out on something, or fear that you don't know or may be wrong. But I'm here to tell you that what if is not a great policy to base your life upon. Okay? Solid foundational truths are a good thing to base your life on. It's okay to ask the what if, but you cannot live in the what if. I had a buddy of mine ask me one time. He said, man, you're really into this Christian business. You do all that praying and talking about the Bible and how this and how that. He says, what if you're wrong? I said, no big deal. What did I miss out on? Had a great life. My conscience was free of guilt and shame. I treated my wife in the right way. I grew my kids up in the right way. I lived pretty abundantly in life. Feel pretty good about it. I said, what if you're wrong? What hope do you have? See, if we ever stay in the what ifs and in this struggle and never get down into the faith, if we stayed at what if and we continued to struggle with this in our hearts, we would never get anywhere and we would fall off into darkness. See, that's the problem. What it comes down to is proper perspective of your what if. See, salvation comes at Christmas time because the what ifs are answered either with because of God or God is real, or they're going to be answered with, well, I just don't feel like I want to believe. And so you become very reluctant. That's the two things we want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the obedient. I want to talk about the reluctant. And I want to talk about your choice this morning that you have. First was the obedient. And we go to Luke 1. And this is exactly what's going on here. And this is the story of Zechariah. And he's a priest. And we go in here in verses 5 through 10. And this is what it's talking about. And it says this. Well, let me get there. I got to get there in my Bible. I'm going to give you time to get there in your Bibles. All right. This is our text. Luke 1, Luke 2 is going to be our text for this morning. I'm not going to make you jump between books this morning. Luke 1, Luke 2. This is the story of Zechariah, and it says this beginning in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time came When the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. So here is this guy named Zechariah. He is a priest of the Lord. So he's kind of like your today's pastor guys, all right? They do a lot of sitting around, reading old scrolls, memorizing the text, doing the priestly duties, going and giving the sacrifices, lighting the incense bowl, making sure we got showbread out there. So kind of like how we make sure everything's done here, and you come in on Sunday morning, and we got folks that are in place that do a great job, and you get to have a great worship experience, and it was kind of all led by the elders and the pastor. That's kind of like what priests were in the Old Testament. They were your churchy guys. They were the guys that were at the church all the time, making sure everything got taken care of. This is what Zechariah was. He spent his days in the scrolls. Malachi 2, verse 7, "For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth." See, that's his job. His job is to know the scrolls, know the word of the God, Lord, know the law. The Old Testament law, they'd be very well versed in the law. By the time you're up here in Zechariah's age, he's an old guy. It's going to tell us. They're well on in their years. So he's been doing this a long time. Because if you're a priest, you start when you're like this big. All right? It's not like today in America where you get to choose like when you're 18 kind of what you want to do. And you try some things out. And maybe later on you get to come. No, these people are taken from the people of the firstborn of the Levites, and they're taken from childhood and brought into the temple, and they spend their lives serving the Lord. Which is a pretty awesome deal, because they get to experience some of the stuff Zechariah is getting ready to experience. So it's a good deal. You have to give up some things, but it's a pretty good deal in the end. But he would know the law. And how do we know that? Because they were both upright before the Lord. See, it says Zechariah was upright before the Lord. He followed all the laws and decrees blamelessly. Does that mean he never sinned? No, that doesn't mean that. It just means he appropriated the proper sacrifice for all of his sins, for all of his transgressions. But he knew the law. He raised his family and Elizabeth, because she was upright also. So he raised his family the way he ought to. He raised them up in the Lord. He raised them up in the Word. So here's this priest doing what he ought to be doing, knew the law, knew the word. He was one of these real big churchy guys. He knew all the answers. He knew what was going on. And yet we find him in some struggle. Back to Luke 1. Picking up in verse 12. I'm going to pick up in verse 11. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him." I said, I told you, priests get to do cool things, y'all. Angel of the Lord appeared to him. That could be a good thing or a bad thing. We covered that last week. "Standing at the right side of the altar of the incense, when Zechariah saw him, he startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is to never take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go out before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' And Zechariah asked the angel," I don't know about you, but I'm not into asking questions when I'm gripped with fear and terrified. Zechariah is a better man than me. He comes up with some courage, and he says, and Zechariah asked the angel, "How can it be for sure, or how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news." So here we are, talking about Zechariah. And he comes into this place of struggle, this doubt. "For the angel of the Lord appears to him," and again, this could be good news, bad news, but here he is, And he starts to begin a struggle, a fleshly struggle. Here it is, the angel brings him good news. He's going to have a son. He's going to be a great dude. He's going to bring the people back to God. He's going to do great things. You're going to be proud of him. He is going to be an awesome guy. I don't know. I've never been in the situation that Zechariah was in. But when an angel of the Lord appears to you and tells you something's going to happen, I don't know. I want to fist bump the guy and say, right on. But that's me and I wasn't there, and that's just me hoping that's what I would do. Meanwhile, probably more like Zechariah, I'm going to be like, yeah, right. Joke's on me, right? Ha ha. All right, Bob, come out of the curtain, right? Because he gives him news of the impossible. Because he's old and his wife is well beyond childbearing years. And he begins to think like a man instead of like God. See, again, a priest should know these things. He ought to have trust in the Lord. But even in the priest, doubt is possible. See, he doubted like Sarah and Abraham. Remember, they laughed when God told them they were going to have a child. Now, they were in their 90s. I don't know where Zechariah's at, doesn't say. I didn't do the math, but I'm going to tell you this. I probably would have laughed, too, if I was in my 90s and God said, hey, you're going to have a kid? Yeah, right. I threw my hip out last week, Lord. I mean, come on. Right? And here's these old folks once again. And God's saying, I'm going to do the impossible. He said, I'm going to use this impossible task to shift your perspective. I'm going to shift your perspective because I want you to believe. You fast forward now 2,000 years to today, and he's telling you the same thing. He's saying, look at this ridiculous story. I took these old people and they had kids. Because what is impossible with man is possible with God. See, that's how salvation came at Christmas. God took an impossible task, and that is bridging the gap between us and him, and he made it possible. He made it possible. But you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful how this happens. And you got to be careful how you ask. Here we are in verse 20. And it says this, and now you will be silent. He says, shut your mouth. And you won't be able to speak until the day this happens. Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So you've got to be careful. The question, how can this be? This ain't possible. He says, watch this. This ain't possible either, but now you can't talk. Right up until the time when it's going to happen, then you'll be able to talk again. Now, for a priest not to be able to speak, what did we just read in Malachi? People want to come to him. They want answers. To not be able to speak is a struggle. Trust me, I know. As a pastor, sometimes it's hard to shut up. And speaking is kind of our tool. It's how we communicate the word of God to people. It's how we bless people with the thoughts and insights and the spirit that God puts on our hearts. And so here's this struggle now for him, this testimony that he can no longer speak because he did not believe, he doubted. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. See, our paths get crooked when we doubt. That doesn't mean that they can't come back straight. Just like with Zechariah here, his path went off a little crooked. And God said, okay, now he's not going to be able to talk for a little while, so he wasn't able to talk. And then we see, later on, we see this acceptance of what God was doing. And it was crazy. He comes out of the prayer time. He's been changed. They can tell he's been in the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden he can't speak. And the people are all wondering what's going on. And then it comes time for Elizabeth to have the child. And they go and they have this child. And he names him John. And guess what? He can talk again. See, the amazing thing about this is, though, is before he names him John, everybody's asking, what's the name of the child going to be? What's the name of the child going to be? What are you going to name him? You got a boy, you got to name him after your aunt, your uncle, your father. You know, you got to name Uncle Remus over here. You know, there's all these suggestions coming in. He writes it down. He says, no, his name's got to be John. And just then, his mouth is released and he can speak. And the people witness a miracle because of the obedience of Zechariah. See, that's the thing is that if we doubt and we repent or we get the knowledge of the Lord and we say, yes, the Lord is my foundation, and we become obedient, we find very quickly that God blesses that. So the doubt isn't the sin, it's where you go with your doubt. Are you going to rely upon the Lord or are you going to continue to rely upon human wisdom and thought? Are you going to trust what people say? Or are you going to trust what God says? Zechariah, he trusts what God said. And he was blessed. See, God shifted his perspective. He said, impossible things are possible. And when Jesus came later on, and John was there to prepare the way, I guarantee you, Zechariah said, yeah, this is salvation come to us. The impossible can be made possible because of God. But you know, some are reluctant to believe. Some are reluctant to see the truth. If we go over to Luke 2, just one chapter over here in verse 6 and 7. And this is the birth of Jesus. Just a couple quick verses here I want to read because it doesn't take much to see the truth in it. Verse 6 says this, and while they, meaning Mary and Joseph, were there in Bethlehem, that's just some addition there so you get a context of where they are, the time came for the baby, which was Jesus, to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And some of your popular versions say there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them available in a normal birthing place, in a home anywhere. There was no place for them, for that place had been shut out. I got a video for you real quick.
No vacancies.
That's a tough set of words there. No vacancies. The innkeeper doesn't, or whoever they knocked on the doors of, doesn't get a lot of attention here. But that's because those who have no room for Christ don't get a lot of attention. God doesn't spend a lot of time on those who don't have room for Him. We see that the no vacancies forces our Savior, and it says he's in a manger, and we can argue where that's at. The word manger there just means a feeding trough. This means that he was associated with animals on that night. Whether that be in a cave or in a lower place inside of somebody's home in the stables or out in the fields in a stable, we may not know. Until we get to heaven, we ask the question. But we know it was in a lowly place. And we know that the imagery of it is very beautiful because we see the Lamb of God, the very one who would be sacrificed for our sins, born as that sacrifice upon that night, as an animal would be born and placed in a feeding trough, all because there was no vacancies. See, our doubt can either lead us to be obedient and to believe, or it can cause us to doubt and become fallen away. Our doubt can lead us into these two directions. It can lead us into something great and something beautiful, or it can lead us into destruction. The key is that we must be obedient to God if we truly want to learn what trust is, if we want to grow our faith. If we continue to doubt and all we do is ever doubt and we never grab a hold of what is true, then we will be led into the darkness and we will be the one that says, there is no vacancy for you. For the world rejected Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 10 and 11. And he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. For they busied their lives too much to have room for the Lord. That's what happens to us in doubt. And when we don't turn to obedience, we turn to that which is the unfaithful. We turn to human wisdom. When we turn to the things that people say is okay, but it's not in the Word of God, we fill ourselves up with the busyness of human things. We fill ourselves up with the busyness of this world. When the world tells us, oh, it's your job to get rich. It's your job to live a comfortable life. The American dream. I don't remember that being in the Scripture. You know, American dream's nice, to have a home and job and provide for a family. Yeah, sure, that's great. But that's not in the Bible. In the Bible is the will of God, and he says, fulfill the will of God, and you may be blessed with these things. Or you may be blessed in another way, but you never know. In the end, we end up doubting, and we fill ourselves with what the world says we should be filled with. And what happens is we continue to fill our hearts with those things, and they don't satisfy. But then we begin to chase them, and chase them, and chase them, and we begin to just continue to fall, and fall, and fall, and fall. And then we wonder why we have no satisfaction, and we wonder why we have no peace, and we wonder why we can't get a hold of our own lives, and we spiral out of control, and we wonder what's wrong with us. It's because we didn't become obedient, but we doubted and we said, Lord, there's no longer room for you in here. No vacancies. That's the choice before us each and every day. Folks, even as those who are saved and those who are Christian, we come to that question every day. Am I going to have faith and believe upon the Lord? Or am I going to choose to doubt and believe upon the wisdom of men? Do I choose the light or do I choose the darkness? We look as he sent out the 72. He sent them out two by two in Matthew 13, verse 14. And he told them this, if a home is deserving, let your rest upon it. Let your peace rest upon it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or that town, shake the dust off from your feet. Salvation comes, but what is your answer? This is why I love Christmas. Because the birth of our Savior reminds us that the impossible is possible. That a child could be born to a virgin woman. That he could live a life pure without sin. He could lift himself upon a cross and die for you and me, that we may come into the new covenant of Christ Jesus and be united with our Lord. It can make us unsure. or it could lead us from unsure to faithful. If we just shift our perspective. See, Zechariah was blessed by God. He was given a son in his old age. By the way, for the Hebrew, that would have been the bomb, right? That would have been the ultimate blessing to have a son. That's just the way their culture was. A name to pass your lineage on to. Someone who could take upon the family business. In this case, he would have become a priest. That was a huge blessing to them. One of the biggest blessings they could receive. And he became this participant in the gospel. He became a participant in the gospel of Jesus Christ through his son, John, who would make the path straight for the Lord, who would baptize Jesus. Or we could be the innkeeper. We can reject the Lord and have plenty of money in our pockets. We can reject the Lord and say, no vacancies. I have plenty of things in my life. For the Lord says, you're either for me or you're against me. Matthew 12 and verse 30. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. See, salvation came to the doubting. The question is, are we willing to accept what is true? Are we willing to step out in faith for that calling? Are we willing to call upon the Lord and bring Him into our heart and live that life He has called us to be and to do? You know, it reminds me of my dad, and when I was young, I had initially learned to swim. It was not by trusting my father. It's because my father kicked me off the edge of the pool and said, sink or swim. I was two. I don't remember the event. All I remember is the story. I swam. Got pretty good at it. Enjoyed it. When I was in later, a couple years later, I do remember this, and I was on the edge of the pool, and I was on the deep end of the pool. And you know, when you're little, the deep end sure seems a lot deeper, and it's a lot scarier than the shallow end. When you can't touch your feet on the bottom, you begin to have a little bit of doubt about your capability. And my father says, come on, jump in here, I'll catch you. I've seen a rock hit that pool and go all the way down to the bottom and not come up. And I say, yeah, right. And I looked at my father and I looked into his eyes and I looked at his strength and I looked at his power and I looked at him swimming in the water and I couldn't help it. I leaped into the water with him. I said, I got to trust him. And I leaped into the water and he caught me and we laughed and we had a splash. And it was that day that I started to learn to swim in the deep end of the pool. And he was teaching me something about trust. And it's the same way today. Sometimes when we look at our lives, it can seem like the deep end of the pool. And we can be very afraid about it. And we can doubt what's there. And we can doubt if our God is big enough to catch us in the mess that we've got ourselves into. But I'm here to tell you, take the leap because you'll never regret it. Be in obedience to the Lord and you will find blessing. Come out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your Son and His birth. And as we have this time of year to celebrate those things, we want to lift you up. We want to lift you up every day, obviously. But we know that there are certain times of great celebration. When we honor you just in a little bit deeper way, in a little bit stronger way, bless our hearts in these things, Lord God. Let this word not return void to us. Let us hold hope in it. Let our faith grow deeper. Let us take that leap, and whatever that is for us this morning, may your blessing be found in us, that we may give it to others, and they may see you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we come to this time and call it invitation. Invitation for me is something special. It's a time for us to respond to what we've heard. It's a time for us to say, yes, Lord. It's a time for us to take that doubt, place it aside, and say, this is for me. And whether, again, you're a Christian, you've been saved for 80 years, sometimes we all need prayer on us. Or whether you're a brand new Christian and you just need to get your fires restoked back up, or whether you just don't know the Lord and you want to come to know Jesus Christ today and you want to give your heart to Him because you're tired of doubting and you want to come into that wonderful light, this is that time we have for you. I'm going to have Brian come up, and he's going to be here to for anybody that wants to respond, he can pray for you. He can take your profession of faith. He can say, hey, look, that's great. You want to be, yeah. Whatever the case is for you this morning, I want you to respond to the Word of God. I want you to respond to what He's putting upon your heart. You know, we only get us so much time. But there comes a time in all of our lives where I'm tired of doubting. I'm tired of being the person I was. I don't want to be the person you're creating me to be. And I want to respond to that. You can come and call upon the elders to pray over you. That's what we're here for. We're here to bless you in that manner and that capability. Or to take your profession to come to the Lord for the first time and place yourself wholly in His arms. Whatever that case is for you this morning, will you please respond to the Spirit?